Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that is and will continue to be all about the issues of aging. I'm just so glad to have you with us this morning. A lot happening in the long-term care world. $1.1 billion missing from the state Medi-Cal fund. That didn't go to seniors, didn't go to the waiver program, went to 450,000 people who didn't qualify. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Got some other stuff to talk about that I think is interesting. An upcoming workshop. I have to get you that date for more information. It's going to be only for people. Oh, I can tell you when it's going to be. It's going to be on the 24th of April. If you want more information, you can call me, but it's going to be only for people who are childless, either married or single, but have no children, because there are those people have all the normal needs of long-term care and frailty without the ability to have a normal chain of people from which to pick. So I'll try to get you more information on that, but it's going to be at Escaton, and if you want more information, it'll be at 10 o'clock on the 24th of April. You can call my office. I'll give you that information in a little bit, and I'll get you information and directions and all that kind of stuff. Glad you're with us. You know, it's been an interesting week. I want to get you out some information. I want you to write it down if you can, please. And then we'll talk a little bit. I want to talk about lots of things today, but I want to talk. 800-999-8007 is my phone number. Let me get out some information I got to give every week. Remember, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want an attorney, you should consult one, preferably that knows what the you know what they're talking about. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't have anything to do with one. I've had one for almost 50 years. I just have one, but I have to tell you, because this show might be secretly about insurance products. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California, which allows me, believe it or not, by state law, to provide you with documents at your request. I can produce documents at your request. That license is recorded in Sacramento County, and I have been doing it since I don't remember when, I think 04 or 05, so over 10, 12 years. I'm a California notary, which means I can, like, notarize the document. I have a California driver's license, which allows me to drive on the public roads and byways and highways of California and most other states in the Union, with the possible exception of Canada, and I think I can drive there. What else do I need to say? It's become apparent, folks, in the last couple months, that this show and what I do is under great attack by people who really don't want me telling you what I'm telling you. And so I have to be really careful now and make sure I talk about everything the way it should be. My website has been under attack. We've had people messing with my website. All kinds of things. So, if there's anything out there you notice that's weird, if there's anything you see that's weird, please let me know. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, let me know. And I'll get you there, because we've had some people we know messing with the link to sign up for my workshops. We know that for a fact. And we're going to try to figure out who that was and who that is. But there's all kinds of things going on right now. And the more I talk about these issues, it seems the worse that it gets. but I have no choice. You know, the families I'm taking care of right now and helping are in deep need. They have someone that they just love. You know, I just got a phone call this morning before I started doing the show. And it's from somebody who has a relative. It's not even a mother or father, but they live a long way away. And they got involved in a Nigerian scam. And they've given away a lot of money. And they've borrowed money from friends. And they have a reverse mortgage on their house. And the family's desperate to find out what they can do. They've called the police. There's been no help there. They've called the FBI. There's been no help there. And this aging person lives alone and has basically destroyed their life, and no one was willing to help. I gave her some direction. I don't know if she wants my direction or not. I personally could not help her. But it's everywhere. I can't tell you how many people in nursing homes and how many lies the nursing homes and other people have told them about what they can and can't do. There is such a stag. There are people out there telling husbands and wives who've been married for 50, 60 years that all they can do is get a divorce. There are people being told that they have to sell everything and give half away. There are people that are being told that they have to pay $100,000 a year. I had somebody call me the other day and said, hey, we got approached by someone that they couldn't find the card. I wanted to know who it was, who said they could get his help from the VA for housekeeping. And I went, what? I said, yeah, they said if we was signed up and we paid them a bunch of money, they could get us help with housekeeping. I said, to the best of my knowledge, there's no VA benefit available for housekeeping. I said, do you still drive? She said, yeah, but I need a little help with housekeeping. And they told me that over and over and over and over again. The Department of Healthcare Services, supposedly out there to protect the needs of the frail and disabled and disadvantaged among us. The state of California recently signed up 450,000 people for Medi-Cal who didn't qualify at a cost to the state of $1.1 billion with a B dollars. Your state legislature, the inept Department of Healthcare Services, your governor spent $1.1 billion on one program, Medi-Cal. I told you this was going to happen when they just started expanding it, but never mind. Now, why is that important? Because there's another program called the Assisted Living Waiver Program, which the Department of Healthcare Services has shut down on at least three occasions that I'm aware of because there's no money. The waiver program, listen to this, helps people, instead of going to nursing homes, helps pay low-income people go to assisted living. Isn't that a better choice? But there's no money for that. So they've shut the program down. They just reopened it, and the last I heard, at first there was a 5-year waiting list, then there was a 2-year waiting list. I understand it's down to about 6 months. Imagine what one half of $1.1 billion misspent dollars that we'll never get back could have done to help the frail elderly among us who are trying to live out their lives in dignity. I've been in 3 homes in the last week in which people are laying in hospital beds dying alone. I don't know when people really begin to care about this or if we just continue to ignore it and pretend that it doesn't happen. But because there's nobody to help, there's no one that will intervene, there's no government agency that will help. You can't call Adult Protective Services. They don't care. You can't call the police anymore unless there's actual physical harm to help. You can't do any of those things. I know someone who has a spouse who has dementia who does unspeakable things in the house. I'm not going to talk about them on the radio. Can't get any help. Can't get to a psychiatrist. Can't 5150 them. Can't get any help from Adult Protective Services. Is desperate. Is just desperate. And there's no one to help. There's someone who, for a fee, will help you get housekeeping. I have someone that just came out of the hospital, and it's going to cost them $14,000 a month for round-the-clock home care. Do you know how much money $14,000 a month is? At what point do you keep listening to this program and going, oh, you know, I wish he'd get off of this. I wish he'd talk about happy things. Well, I have lots of happy things I could talk about, but the reality in my world is that there are lots of sad things that happen, and most of them happen because nobody ever thinks it's going to happen, and therefore nobody cares. I have a client right now where one child drives 4 hours every weekend to get down to help take care of mom and dad. Living in the same city is another child who just can't be bothered, lives 15 minutes away. How many of you are facing that? Who's going to take care of you? I mean, seriously, who's going to take care of you? Which one of your lovely children is going to step up when you're doing things, bodily things that no one can imagine? How many of you ever had a kid? How many of you ever had a kid? Raise your hands. Ever had a kid? Did you ever have to clean up icky stuff? How much fun was that? Cleaning up the icky stuff. Well, imagine doing that for your mother or your father. Who's going to step up and do that for you? Who's going to step up and do that for mom or dad? Is your 80-year-old mom going to have to do that for your 82-year-old father who weighs 180 pounds and doesn't walk so well and has a tough time getting to the bathroom and can't give himself a bath and is icky stuff? Aging involves icky stuff, and we don't like talking about it. You know, we've all laughed about how we had to change diapers. I had twins, so we went through a lot of diapers. A lot of diapers. You can't imagine how many diapers. I don't know how somebody with triplets or quadruplets does it. Imagine doing that for somebody that your parent or your aunt or your grandma or somebody that you love deeply, but as an adult. Just imagine doing that. And we just blew 1.1. We got a train. Oh yeah, let's have the train. We're focused on the train, but we just blew $1.1 billion in healthcare that could have gone to people who really, really, really need it. I'm going to just keep going here, folks, because right now I'm on a roll. Have you ever tried to get mental health care for somebody in California? But we just blew $1.1 billion signing up 450,000 people so we could get federal money under Obamacare for people who didn't qualify for the program. And that's only the ones they know about. That's only the ones they know about. I repeat, that's only the ones they know about. Could we have done better without $1.1 billion than build a train or give benefits to people who don't qualify? Are we so bureaucratically overloaded that we can't notice? And when somebody calls the police and they come to the door because dad is doing unspeakable things, And the police say, we can't help you. Has anybody, but has he hit you? Has he touched you? Or do you have any bruises? Let me see if you, I'm sorry, we can't help. And then you call adult, and they tell you to call Adult Protective Services, and you call Adult Protective Services, and they tell you to call the police. Have you ever tried to get somebody in a nursing home directly without writing a check for the first 2 months? So let's say $20,000 up front. Have you checked out the cost of assisted living and home care lately? We have lots of money and we have lots of time and we have lots of protections for regular folk. But for the frail elderly and the disabled, out of sight, out of mind is public policy. And if you think there's somebody in the state legislature who cares, you don't know what you're talking about, because I've been down there and talked to some of them, and they don't care. It's as simple as that, and I will take more hits for saying this. They don't care. Look at what's on the legislative agenda right now. Look at the kind of stuff that they're involved in. Do you think old people are on there anywhere? Here's their idea of protecting old people. If you're 65 or over, it is presumed you're the victim of financial elder abuse, even if it was, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're Warren Buffett and somebody takes advantage of you, you're guilty, that guy would be guilty of elder abuse to Warren Buffett, because the presumption is if you're 65 or older, you're too stupid to manage your own affairs. That's their idea of helping elders. I can't make it up, folks. Their idea of helping elders is going after stockbrokers. Okay, so we had a stockbroker who stole $20,000. I'm not picking on stockbrokers or whatever it is. I don't care. Who took $20,000 from Dad. He put it in a mutual fund, and the mutual fund lost money. Didn't do anything illegal. Mutual fund lost money. That poor stockbroker, because Dad was 68 years old, it's presumed Dad was too stupid to know what he was doing. This is the idea that we have of helping seniors in California. Not the waiver program. Not the way nursing homes are regulated. Do you know how often the state inspects boarding cares? Do you know how often? On average, once every 5 years. Boy, there's a real concern. Why is that? Because the Department of Healthcare Services and Social Services say we don't have enough money. Wait a minute. We just lost $1.1 billion signing up people who didn't qualify for Obamacare, for Medi-Cal. I'm really confused. I thought there was no money. Where did that $1.1 billion? We found that. If you believe you're anything other than on your own when it comes to long-term care, you are just not paying attention, because you are on your own. They're just anybody. There just isn't anybody that's really that excited about the seniors and the frail elderly. There are some nonprofits. Almost all of them are in it for themselves. They draw huge, gigantic salaries. There's some attorneys who will sue, be happy to help you if you're injured in a nursing home. They're happy to sue the nursing home. That kind of stuff. But who really fights for seniors? Do you think AARP fights for seniors on the local level? There's been a lot of interesting articles recently on what AARP really is, folks. I'm not saying any more than that. Just go read them. Just go read them. So when it comes to you and your family, the only way you're ever going to protect you and your family is with information. And the only way you're going to get that information is to be diligent about it, to search, to look, to ask questions, and be willing to endure hard answers. Hard answers. One of the things I talk about all the time is picking the responsible adult in a family. Who's going to be the responsible adult in the family? Who's that going to be? I don't know who it is in your family. But have you picked a responsible adult in your family? You know, dad has dementia. Mom is getting a little older. Who's everyone still looking to make decisions? Dad, and he's got dementia. Not the children. Not mom. Mom's not capable of doing it. She's freaked out over losing her husband, because she knows what's going on. Which one of you children is going to step up and become the responsible adult? Which one of you is going to make hard decisions? Which one of you is going to advocate for your mom and dad? Because it's not going to be the state. It's not going to be DHCS. It's not going to be the Department of Social Services. It's not going to be the legislature. It's going to be you and your family. And you better be equipped to make the decisions that you're going to have to make that you never thought in a billion years you were going to have to make. I mean, seriously, you never, ever thought you were going to have to make these kinds of decisions. Guess what? Yeah, you are. You're going to have to make decisions about where your mom and dad lives. You're going to have to be making decisions about whether your mom or dad wear Depends or not. You're going to have to make decisions about finances that you never thought you were going to make. You're going to have to make decisions about whether your mom and dad can live at home. You're going to have to make decisions about who's going to care for them and what their diet is. You're going to have to make medical decisions for them you never, ever thought you were going to have to make. You're going to have to go to the funeral home and make funeral arrangements for your mom and dad. You never, ever thought you were going to do that, and you don't really know what they want. You're going to have to separate your mom and your dad because your dad is killing your mom off just from the stress. You're going to have to separate them. You're going to have to pick a home for one of them while trying to keep the other one at home, and you're going to make that decision. You're going to make a decision as to who gives them a bath because they can't give themselves a bath. You're going to make decisions that you never thought you were going to make. So if you're looking to an outside agency to take care of mom and dad, please give up that fantasy. They would like it. It's like the VA. You know, 1,100 vets died last year while their appeals were pending for medical care. 1,100 vets died while waiting for their appeals to be heard. One of the dirty little secrets in all these government programs is the government loves being able to say, no, we got a program. But what they won't tell you is it doesn't work. You can't get it. You can't qualify for it. It's so complicated, you can't figure it out. I've got three Medi-Cal workers right now, not this county, different counties, all telling me different things. It's a good thing I know what the one thing is that's the truth, because they're all saying different things about the same thing because they don't know. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to deal with icky stuff as a family? Are you prepared to identify the responsible adult in your family? Are you prepared to be honest about mom and dad and grandma and grandpa? 800-999-8007. You have a chance to come in and sit down, and together we can reason together. If you're single or married with no children, you have a chance to come to a workshop I'll be doing in conjunction with an elder law attorney on the 24th of April at 10 o'clock. If you want more details, you can call me. The appointment is free to come and see me. As we talked last week, have you done pre-crisis planning, or are you still in the hope mode we're just hoping it's all going to work out and we'll get somebody else to take care of the icky stuff. 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. Or give me a call, 800-999-8007, and get in to see me. The consultation is free. Only you are going to be able to protect yourself and your family. Don't wait. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Be back after the break with some maybe a little happier stuff to talk about right here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. We'll be back here in just a few seconds. See you in a few. Okay, welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. That means I'm actually here. It's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. You hear some rattling papers. I'm getting out my stuff that I want to talk about here. In between halves of the show, I returned a couple phone calls. So, anyhow, glad to have you with us. I want to talk a little bit. I want to carry over a little bit what I was talking about earlier, but I want to put a positive spin on it. Okay, so somebody in your family that you love, by the way, Bob Scrivano, your host here, 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S-A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. Glad to have you with us. Always can call me, always can get in touch with me. Again, 800-999-8007 is the best way, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You can get information. You can do all kinds of things. You can send me an email. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. You can do all of that kind of stuff right there. You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday live. My last podcast was How to Get Nursing Homes for Free. That'll make somebody mad, guaranteed. Can you do that? Yeah. Possible. Okay. Don't forget all the disclaimers from the first half hour. They're all there. Let's set up a scenario. You have somebody in your life that's old or getting old. It might be you. It could be you. You might be getting old. I don't know. It could be you. It could be your grandma. It could be your grandpa. It could be whatever it is you want to be. And you're trying to figure out what to do. Well, one of the things you can do is buy my book. My book is available now, Navigating Frailty. It's a great book. I should have printed it out. I'd love to read you what somebody wrote me the other day about my book, because it's terrific. She said it's just really changed her life dealing with her family. It's called Navigating Frailty. You can call me and I can get you information on how to get my book. It's $20. There's a couple ways you can get it. Email, download, or paperback. But if you don't have my book, I can tell you how to get it. It's $20. And everybody that has read it so far has really liked it. It is designed, believe it or not, it is actually designed to be read by, it's not intended to be a technical manual. It's not. It's intended to be read by people who, are looking to take care of somebody. In fact, I think I just found it. Hang on a second. I want to read this to you. Bob, this is from one of the readers of the book. Bob, thank you for mailing the book. Boy, did it show me problems that happen when elder care is needed. The last few chapters are the scariest, the hospital designation, etc. When I called a number from the internet to get information about local care homes and prices, I was told they are private pay, no government assistance, the ones they were going to help me with. When I questioned them further, they said, well, there are a few places around that aren't private pay. That was the end of my conversation with them. I'm wondering just what the others offer in care of social services. I'm trying to get somebody on right now that can talk about the options that are available. Recently, we updated our family trust, and we now need to take the next step in getting a clearer path for when we need outside care. By my blah, 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 we're both older, healthy at this moment, and both have long-lived families, 90 to 100, who needed care the last few years. Blah, 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 blah. I'll be contacting you, but it's a thank you for the book. And it meant a lot to me that it touched where she is. And I thought that was a really, really, really neat thing. That it just really touched where she is, and it spoke to her, and she talked about specific chapters. It's meant for that. It's meant to tell you or to explain to you kind of where you are and be able to go from there and then give you solid direction, not advice so much, but direction as to how you can make your life better and your mom and dad's life better. So let's go back to, that's my book. You can call me about getting my book, or you can go to my website for the email version. To get the printed version, you need to give me a call, and I'll give you instructions on how to get a hold of it. We're working on a PayPal link now, but it's not up yet. So right now, if you want my book, you have to call me, and I'll mail it to you. So there's somebody in your life that you love. Mom, dad, Grammy, Grampy, I don't care who, it doesn't matter. But there's somebody in your life that you love. You love them a lot. You would do anything for them. But you might have to do more than you ever thought. Okay, you might have to do more than you ever thought. So let's just create a scenario. And I'm going to take a parent out of the equation. So I'm going to say dad is gone. And mom is starting to develop some quirky habits. Mom is becoming a little forgetful. You go over to mom and you notice the pill bottles are open. And you didn't count them, so you don't know how many there are in there. You don't even know what mom's taking. What pills is she taking and why? Do you know her doctor? Do you know how to talk to her doctor? Will her doctor talk to you? Could you set up an appointment for your mom and take her? Do you know what pharmacy your mom uses? Do you know who the pharmacist is? Do you have permission to go to the pharmacy and talk to the pharmacist about your mom? All I've said so far is there were some pills on the counter in a prescription bottle when you went to your mom. How many of you, when you go to your parents' house, out on their kitchen sink are about 4,000 different bottles of stuff, from over-the-counter stuff to prescription stuff? Do you know what the drug interaction is of all of those? Do you know if their doctor knows some of the stuff that they're taking? Do you know that? Do you know there is quote-unquote harmless over-the-counter stuff that has a severe impact on prescription drugs? Did you know that? Did you know there are over-the-counter drugs that interact with other over-the-counter drugs? Do you know any of that? So mom's starting to act a little different. We just started with prescriptions. You walk into mom's room and you notice that there's kind of, mom used to be really neat. Mom used to be really, really neat. She would dust and she was neat. And you notice that some of her clothes are kind of spread about. And the other thing you notice, there's not many clothes in the dirty clothes basket. What does that mean? Well, it usually means that mom's been wearing the same clothes for several days. You notice lots of things when you wander around in the bathroom. Bathroom and kitchens and bedrooms are one of the things, the places I tell kids they should always pay attention to. You look and you notice there's no toothpaste in the cabinet. What does that mean? Does that mean mom's not brushing her teeth, or did she just happen to run out that day and hasn't been to the store? What do you notice? Because remember, mom at this point, she just has a few problems. Do you go to the... I'm not trying to be indelicate here, folks, but this is the reality of what happens. When you go to the bathroom, are there smells that are uncomfortable? Do you notice that when you walk into a house, there are smells that weren't there before? Do you notice that when you come in, quite often mom is sitting in the same chair or same place on the couch and doesn't want to get up to talk to you? Just says, oh, come over and sit down, honey. We'll talk. When you check the fridge, is the food in there fresh? Do you open the fruit drawers and the vegetable drawers? Does some of it look like it may be in there? Do you open the little Tupperware containers that mom puts food in? And do you look and see what the food inside looks like? Or do you avoid the whole refrigerator issue? I'm going to give you another one. Is there alcohol in the house? Nothing wrong with alcohol. I like an adult beverage from time to time. In fact, some kinds of adult beverages I like a lot. Does mom like adult beverages? Do you notice that the bottle that was full 3 days ago is now almost empty? What does that mean? Does mom seem to sit in the same place all day? Does she get up? Does she move around? Mom used to be really active on social media. Now she's not anymore. Mom used to have friends come over to the house. You notice that the friends aren't coming anymore. How many warning signs have I given out so far? And I've never yet once used the word dementia. I've just asked you to notice stuff. Do you notice trash that hasn't been taken out and mom consistently misses putting stuff in the garbage and taking it out to the front curb? Mom's roses used to be really, really, really nice. Did you notice all of a sudden that mom's flowers aren't getting watered? That the house plants aren't getting watered, or there's water flowing over the top of them or out the bottom because they're getting watered every day? Have you noticed mom's general appearance? Mom always used to put on a little makeup, little lipstick, had her hair combed. Have you noticed if that's changed? People, when they talk about memory issues, they always will say to me, well, you know, mom doesn't have Alzheimer's. Okay, mom doesn't have Alzheimer's. All right. Mom doesn't have okay. That's fine. But how many warning signals have we talked about so far? Well, again, I haven't asked, is there a diagnosis of dementia from a doctor? All I've said is, are there things you notice that you find somewhat disturbing? Are there? So far? I don't know. Are there things you should be noticing? Is mom still driving? Have you driven with mom? Hey, mom, let's go up to the grocery store. You drive. How's mom's driving? Well, no, honey, I don't want to drive. It's too far, and I don't. Oh, you know, okay. But then the next time you come over, maybe you make up another excuse. You say, mom, you drive. How many times? If you leave the grandkids with mom, do they ever come home with stories about, you know, mom, you can't believe what grandma did today? And you just kind of shine it off because, well, that's just grandma. Are you paying attention? As part of pre-crisis planning, which I talked about last week, one of the most important things to do in pre-crisis planning, as opposed to in crisis planning, is pay attention. Are you paying attention? Have you had any assessments, mental assessments, done of mom? Have you talked to her doctor about doing them because you've noticed some stuff? Do you let your doctor know about these things? Or her doctor, no. Do you ever ask your own doctor, hey, doc, I've noticed this stuff in my mom. Now, I'm talking about mom. It could be dad. But most of the time I talk about dad anyhow, so I wanted to change it a little bit. Have mom's eating habits changed? Now she only eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She used to really like making food, but she doesn't make food anymore. One of the first things I noticed in my own mom was my mom, her entire life, made Christmas cookies and Easter cookies. And I mean, we're not just talking about your chocolate chip. We're talking about painted cookies and designs and all kinds of stuff. And every year when the kids were growing up, we would get a big box at Christmas and Easter that she would ship full of Easter cookies or Christmas cookies. And us and my children, we always looked forward to that. And then they kind of stopped. And I would talk to her and I would say, Ma, you know, it's too hard. It's too much trouble. It's, you know, I have to go do all day. I have to, okay. And that went on for a couple years, and we would ask her. And then I realized one day what was going on. My mom, her entire life, had made all these cookies by memory. She had recipes for them, but she had done them from memory. She'd made them so many times in her life, and she got the recipes from her mother. And it was one of those things, and she made stuff all the time. She and my aunt used to make cannoli. Best cannoli to this day I've ever had in my life were made by my mom and my aunt. But she did it all from memory. She had all the recipes memorized. She had them in writing, but she had them memorized. And all of us, and it dawned on me one day that two things had happened that I needed to begin to be concerned about. She couldn't remember the recipes anymore. Not a big thing. But her eyesight had deteriorated to the point where she couldn't read them. And that's why she stopped making them. When I connected those two dots, well, why doesn't she just go look at the recipe? Well, because she can't look at the recipe. She can't read it. Well, she has a memory. Oh, her memory is gone. She can't remember the recipes anymore. So she just chalked it up to, I'm getting older and, you know, it's too much trouble and all that kind of stuff, until I put together the dots that something really important in her life had changed. You know, there's very few people anywhere. It's one of the things I liked about my book, that are going to talk this way to you. It's not intended to be clinical. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a clinician. I'm not a nurse. I'm not any of those things. What I am is a pretty good observer. I pick up stuff very quickly when I'm in a house or when people come to the office. And it took me a little while longer with my mom, but what are you noticing? Somebody has to talk to you about this stuff. And as long as I can, I'm going to keep talking to you, because most of the people who come to see me are in crisis. Man, it's a full-blown crisis. And after talking to them for half an hour or so, I can tell, or I know, or I find out that this has been going on for 6 months or a year, and it's been getting worse. Or as my mom would have said, worser and worser and worser. And all along the line, either people didn't recognize the clues and the cues, or ignored them because it was too painful to deal with. I submit to you that you better pay attention. I submit to you that if you don't pay attention, this is going to bite you like you can't imagine. And so far, I haven't talked about the really bad ones, like forgetting names and places and getting lost and going to the bathroom in the living room because somebody can't remember where the bathroom is. We haven't even talked about, or getting lost, or going out in the backyard and can't remembering how to get back in, and going to the neighbors and saying, where do I live? Well, Mildred, you live right next door. I do? We haven't even talked about those. We're just talking about the clues about the changes in someone's life. Now, once we've recognized those clues, what do we do? Who's going to be the responsible adult? Who's going to step forward and get to the other brothers and sisters and say, hey guys, Mom, we got some problems. We can pretend that the problems don't exist, but we have some problems. And those problems are only going to get worse. They're only going to get more intense. And in some cases, they actually may put Mom at danger. No, that's not hyperbole. So what are you going to do as a family? When you begin to notice those things, what are you going to do? Well, the first thing I hope you do is look at each other and go, okay, tag, we're it. Whoever am the responsible party here. Whoever it is, have to deal with this. And we're going to have to make some really uncomfortable decisions. Really uncomfortable decisions. I just got off the phone not long ago. I told you somebody called me and a loved one had been a victim of a scam, and she called the police and all this. And I said, ma'am, with all due respect. And she said, well, she talked to an attorney and an attorney had said this. And I said, ma'am, with all due respect, I don't think I can help you. You're already talking to people who are telling you. And she got angry that I didn't have an answer for, but I did have an answer for her. She just didn't want the answer because she didn't want to take away her relative's independence. So who's the responsible adult? Who's willing to make the really, really unbelievably, more than you can imagine, hard choices? Who is it in your family? Is it you? Is it your brother? Is it your sister? Is it your cousin? Who is it? Who's going to make decisions that you never thought you were going to have to make, and afterwards, everybody was mad at you because you made the decision? Are you willing to bear that price? I don't mean to sound like this, like a martyr thing, but one of the reasons I keep doing this show is I believe that what I have to say is important, and therefore I'm willing to put up with the baloney I have to take for saying this stuff. So when somebody says, no, the only thing you can do is get a divorce, and I say they're an idiot, and then I get all the grief for that, I have to do that because it's the truth. Nobody needs to get a divorce because somebody's ill. Not unless they hate each other. Nobody needs to spend down. Nobody needs to lose everything. Nobody needs to spend all their IRA money. Nobody needs to cash in their life insurance. Nobody needs to sell their house. Nobody needs to do all that stuff. I don't care what anybody says. 800-999-8007. If you're ready to start the discussion, if you're ready to get involved in pre-crisis planning rather than in crisis planning, then call me. I'm really good at family conferences. Bring everybody in. Bring Mom and Dad, Mom, Dad, whoever it is. Bring the kids. And let's have an open and frank conversation about where we go from here. An open wound doesn't usually close by itself. Sometimes it needs a plan and stitches, and then it will heal itself or get better. Otherwise, it's going to get an infection. If this is happening in your family, then start by taking some action. What's the old saw? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. This is the same thing. You have to be willing to take the first step into discomfort, which is admitting that this is going on. And that first step is making a phone call. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Call about my upcoming workshops. I have a couple of them, one for people without children, and then a major one in May that's going to, my larger workshops. The consultation is free. Buy my book, call me and get information. It's $20. You'll like it. It will be helpful. It's a good conversation starter. But bring the family, get involved, determine who's the responsible adult, admit you're seeing the clues and the cues that are going on with your mom or your dad, and purpose today to begin to grab a hold of it and make a difference and do what you have to do, because the crisis is coming and it's better to deal beforehand than in mid-crisis. 800-999-8007. If you call, make sure you leave me your phone number. You don't need to leave me a big story. Just say, hey, I need to talk to you. But leave me your name and your phone number, and I will call you back. I'm very good about returning phone calls. And we can start the conversation. 800-999-8007. I'm thankful to all of you for listening to this show. I'm grateful to KFBK for almost 20 years of letting me be on and saying this stuff. Beware the naysayers. Beware the bad advice. 800-999-8007. I can help, and I can help now. 800-999-8007 for Assets and Aging, Bob Scrivano. Have a great week.